Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I want to tell you a quick little story before Brother Daniel joins me on the air today from Australia. I remember living in San Diego, California, and there was this little tiny Italian restaurant, and I mean tiny. You walk through the door, you were immediately confronted by the counter, and then there were a few little seats, and it was called Di Crescenzo's. It was Nick Di Crescenzo. And I knew Nick because we used to go there all the time for our Italian food. And I asked him one day because he was so good at what he did. They had really, really good Italian food. I said, why don't you make a big restaurant? Why don't you, enlarge this thing? And I'll never forget what Nick said. He smiled. He said, no way, no way. Because sometimes the larger you get, the quality diminishes. I thought, what an interesting thing. Well, I tie that into what we're doing today. We are stretching out our tent pegs, and we are now broadcasting live on Facebook. We're doing it a little bit different way. I hope that it's looking good out there for Facebook friends. Again, we felt leading. Paul Petit actually put it into motion that we needed to do this in video and get out there. So we're doing that today. So we are actually broadcasting live on Facebook, Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and as we interview Brother Daniel, it's going to be a test run as to whether or not our friends in Facebook land will be able to hear him or not. But if you're not able to do so, if you're in Facebook, make sure you go to the telephone number 818-369-0326. Once again, 818-369-0326. And you'll be able to listen to the broadcast while watching it on video as well. And then we're going to find a way to get Daniel on Facebook. So while you're watching our Facebook page, you should be able to see him as well all the way from Australia. But we're not ready for that yet. We're going to take this one step at a time. And so again, welcome to Omega Radio. You're listening on omegaradio.org, blogtalkradio.com/xman777, and now Facebook at the Omega Radio Facebook page. And so once again, welcome to everybody. Without further ado, let me take this call coming all the way from Australia to our not so sleepy Alcee. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today, sir?
I'm very good and much more awake than I was last week, that's for sure.
How are you doing that? Because it's like 1 o'clock in the morning there.
No, it's only midnight. It's just 5 minutes past midnight. So it's not too bad. So I don't know what was wrong with me last week. I was just so, my eyes were so heavy. I got no idea what happened, but I'm feeling right as rain tonight.
Awesome. Well, I know exactly what happened. You had no Tim Tams. I think you brought them all to America. You ran out and you were kind of craving. And if anybody doesn't know what a Tim Tam is, I'm starting a Tim Tam company. I'm going to start a Tim Tam business. So anyways, hey, Daniel, we have some information coming out from the Middle East that the United States is pointing the finger at Iran for blowing up some oil reserves in Saudi Arabia. Your ministry is Israel, Islam, and end times. What's going on there from your perspective?
Well, Iran just basically got caught out in regard to their cruise missile attack upon the Saudi Arabia's oil reserves. Initially, it came out as an attack by drones by Houthi rebels from Yemen, but it was quickly discovered that it was actually false as they looked at the direction and the trajectory from which the missiles came. And then it worked out that it wasn't drone attack at all. It was actually Iranian cruise missiles. So considering this, President Trump is weighing up options at the moment in conversation with Saudi Arabia. Personally, I don't think Trump is going to launch anything, a military attack in response, although Saudi Arabia may well do so. I think it may be the impetus is really upon Saudi Arabia to respond to that. Whether America does, I don't believe so. I think Trump would get involved if there was an attack specifically on American assets in which and American lives were lost. That would be a completely different scenario, and that would be understandable. But in the meantime, Iran is playing a very dangerous game. In fact, they came out and they said that they admitted that it was them, and President Hassan Rouhani came out and said that the attack on the Saudi Arabian oil fields was a warning. He said it was a warning. So very, very interesting, and we wait with bated breath to see how that transpires. In the meantime, if you were to move further to the north and to the west to Israel, Israel has just undergone its second major prime ministerial election within 6 months. And basically what has happened is that both the blue and white led center left bloc and the Likud party have both reached 91 votes, and as a result they are calling upon the Israeli president to actually decide who he will go with, depending on who can actually form government. So at the moment, the Netanyahu is frantically trying to form a coalition, a right-wing party coalition, in order that he can form government with. He's doing it. He's trying to do it quickly because the blue and white party, headed up by Benny Gantz, just edged out Likud. I think it was by very tight, by the slimmest of margins. And so it's really interesting how it's all unfolding because, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu might not end up being the prime minister, you know, like within the next couple of days, we're going to find out just exactly how that's going to pan out, but it's anyone's guess. I mean, it really comes down to who can actually form a coalition government, whether it's Ben Gantz or whether it's Netanyahu. The chances are Benjamin Netanyahu is probably more likely to form a coalition government. So considering that, he may well be the prime minister, the ongoing prime minister. So that's where that all lands at the moment. So there's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Everything's on a knife edge at the moment over there at the moment. So we just need to pray that God has His will and see what transpires.
Well, absolutely. And how much does that tie into politics in the United States? If Netanyahu were to get ousted out of his position, there's a massive movement in the United States, as you know, as a massive, very deep movement to get rid of Donald Trump. And there are some thoughts and ideas that are swirling around out there that there's no way Donald Trump is going to win the election, although he should. You know, the popular vote probably to the left. But through the Electoral College, Donald Trump, as he did last year, will probably win again. But there's this movement against that. Now, if we see Netanyahu displaced, is that kind of a foreshadowing or a sign of perhaps Donald J. Trump being displaced as well?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't necessarily think so. And here's something, here's some food for thought. I would like to see Netanyahu stay as prime minister for two reasons. Well, firstly, because of economic stability, and secondly, because of national security. Three reasons too, because basically he has Netanyahu is very passionate about keeping the Jewish identity of the state. Now that can be problematic for the Messianic community. Because when he says that he wants Israel to remain Jewish and wants it to maintain its Jewish identity, he's not that he's actually referring that that is implying on the religion of Judaism, not necessarily people who are Jewish by ethnicity. And that's a major problem for the Messianic community, because the Messianics, even though they're Jewish and they love Yeshua, they love Jesus, they are not considered Jewish by the interior ministry. The interior ministry only deems people Jewish as their affiliation to Judaism. So that's a major, major problem. And Benjamin Netanyahu is the one who has basically weaponized the interior ministry so much so that they have become very hostile to Messianics and even deporting some dual nationals who basically convert to Christianity, who become Messianic. So this might come as a shock to some people, but Benjamin Netanyahu is very, very good in many ways, but there are some ways that he is not so good. So it could actually be a blessing in disguise if the Blue and White Party get in under Benny Gantz, because it would mean that the Messianic community will not have that persecution as much as they did through the interior ministry.
Okay, so we're talking about a military power, which has always been a concern for a lot of people in the United States, that the military would one day take over and martial law. And these nations, particularly under Netanyahu and Trump, are building up a military power. But how necessary is that? Do you sense anything at this moment, in the Middle East, within Turkey, Iran, or any of the other Middle Eastern nations, do you sense at all? Because it doesn't feel that way. You don't feel the winds too big of that coming World War III or that conflict in the Middle East. Do you sense a war brewing in the Middle East at this point?
Well, I think there is definitely wars and rumors of wars going on at the moment. Now, there are some who actually are arguing that we could really see Daniel 8 being outplayed, in which we could see Iran stirring up trouble. And then hence Turkey will get involved. So there's a whole bunch of different scenarios and how that could play out. Again, I'm not really dogmatic when it comes to geopolitics and biblical prophecy. because the situation is, can be so fluid. So really, I much prefer rather to have a wait and see perspective in regards to that. Yes, Iran is being very belligerent at the moment, but you know, they could quieten down. We'll just have to wait and see. I mean, they, it just seems that they are champing at the bit, that they want to start something. I think they really, and here's the thing about Iran that a lot of people don't really understand, is that Iran is, it's not radical Islam so much that they're driven by. It's apocalyptic Islam that they're driven by. And that can be really quite frightening, because they believe that no matter what they do, that Allah is going to bless them. And they believe that they can actually bring about the scenario in which the 12th Imam can be revealed, and which they believe they can bring about that scenario through war, bloodshed, and chaos. Those three ingredients is what they believe that they can bring about. So they believe if they can bring about a scenario of war, bloodshed, and huge chaos, they can basically encourage the emergence, or bring about the emergence by their own initiative, the emergence of the 12th Imam. So considering that, that does make Iran a very, very dangerous prospect to deal with. So we're dealing with fanatics. That's exactly what we're dealing with at the moment. And this is why there needs to be massive caution exercised with Iran, because they're a very deadly actor to deal with, that's for sure.
Okay, so Daniel, there's a scripture in Amos chapter 8. We've been there for several months now. We just were, we've been, you know, focused on Amos chapter 8, and we've read some very powerful verses that have just kind of stuck out. I mean, here's an ancient prophecy dating back nearly 3,000 years or beyond, and this prophecy is absolutely amazing, maybe more like 2,500 years, whatever it is, in Amos. And here's a prophet that prophesied for 30 to 40 years, is a contemporary of Isaiah, who, you know, prophesied the Assyrian invasion against Israel. But one of the things he says now that I'm looking at is in verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God," this is Amos 8:11, "that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." From your perspective, when the word of the Lord is nowhere to be found, I mean, think about this. We live in this technological era where we're doing what we're doing today. I mean, there are platforms all over the world. Anybody from their home or office can get out online. They could broadcast a message. There's words being spoken everywhere around the world. But where do we find, when will people begin to recognize that the true word of the Lord is no longer being heard in the land? That it's nothing but Babylon. It's nothing but Babel. There's nothing but confusion of messages. And we do see a lot of that today. So how would you encourage people from your perspective to really press in to know that they are hearing the word of the Lord? I mean, you have Benny Hinn on the one hand, who's renouncing the prosperity gospel. And that's basically saying to the prosperity gospel teachers, that wasn't the word of the Lord. And then you have, you know, the different persuasions of, you know, the political part of America. Will it survive? Will it be a great nation? Will it not survive? And so all of this dialogue is going on. How do you penetrate through all the smoke and mirrors and get right down to the nitty gritty and know that the word of the Lord is still being heard in some people's lives? How do you do that?
Well, we are living in a time of biblical illiteracy. There's no question about that. The word of God is certainly not clear, being preached clearly as it has been in times past. So we definitely are living in a time, I guess, where you could say that there really is a famine of the word of God. We're living in a time where there is so many different winds of doctrines being blown about at the moment. And, you know, Jesus warned. In fact, when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, what will be the time of your return? The very, very first thing he said, I mean, he could have started off with, that, you know, you'll be persecuted, you'll be hated, there'll be earthquakes, there'll be rumors of wars. No. The very first thing that he started with was this. He said, watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out that no one deceives you. In other words, what he was saying was that when the end times come, it'll be a climate of pure deception, that there'll be deception everywhere. There'll be false teachers sprouting their nonsense everywhere. And so as a result, people need to be so extra careful, especially in this age of social media and the age of fake news, where basically anyone can start a website and start sharing articles. So we're in this age where you really have to do your due diligence in finding out whether what is actually being preached, whatever is being taught, is actually true. So I believe we've got to be really careful, and we need to basically align ourselves with trusted shepherds, trusted teachers who preach the cross and focus on him on the cross and him crucified, and are preaching the gospel, you know, that preaching on the cross, keeping all these things central. That's really, really important. Anyone who deviates away from the cross and preaches a different gospel needs to be shunned. So we Christians need to be encouraged and need to be warned to stay with sound teaching. So I would definitely exhort that that more Christians seek out expository Bible teaching. And that is something that really is missing in the body of Christ today, because we've had decades and decades of lifestyle preaching. And what lifestyle preaching has done is basically given people a feel-good message. It's like a pep talk. Every time they go to church on Sunday, they get this pep talk. Well, Jesus loves you, and he wants you to have your great life. And he's going to bless you and your family, and you're going to have a great car, and all this is going to be great. And that has done a lot of damage to the body of Christ, because they have avoided crucial doctrines that the church absolutely needs, crucial Bible teaching that the body of Christ, that the ecclesia needs, that is absolutely critical for its survival, critical for its growth. And because it's been denied that, it's been on this junk food diet for so long, the church has been malnourished, and it has been chasing after all these different false teachings because it hasn't been given its proper biblical diet.
Well, absolutely. Too much sugar is going to create decay. There's no doubt about that. Daniel, one of the great things that you do in your ministry is you deal with the cultural wars going all over the world. I mean, we have cultural crises everywhere, and we have decades of decadence and debauchery and depravity. And is the problem that we're having in the church is that we're trying to change the word of God to fit our emotional views and our logic and our reason? Because everything that we see happening in our country, around the world, that is basically in-your-face rebellion, according to the word of God, is going to be met with divine justice and righteous judgment from the King of Glory. And yet we're turning that away. We don't want to believe that. We don't want to tell our congregants that, you know, we're being set up for disaster, and yet we see it all around us, the kindling of these minor events that are really, at one time, they were huge events. I mean, school shootings, come on, mall shootings, these were huge events, but they're no longer huge. They're the kindling. The big logs are coming. And so why do we continue to try to change what God's word obviously has set in motion in patterns and cycles? If you do this, you're going to do this. It's like the law of gravity. And why are people trying to change it and say, we can support the homosexual agenda, we can support abortion, we can support pornography, and go unpunished by God? What is that?
Well, I think it really comes down to the fact that they have not interpreted the signs of the times. This is a real big one. See, they think that they should have favor in the sight of God and with man. They think that as it says, let your good deeds shine before men, so that those who see them may glorify your Father in heaven. So they believe that the time that we can actually appease the world, and that if we are good enough toward the world, then we will win the world's favor. We will earn the world's favor. But they have incorrectly interpreted the times. They have basically missed it. They have, and there's a bunch of different reasons why and they've missed it. But they have completely misinterpreted where we're at. You know, at the times that we are living in is the times in which Jesus said that you will be hated by all nations because of me. That's the times that we are living in. That's the times that we need to prepare for. That's the times. These are the times that we need to understand that we are living in. The world has become so wicked, as Jesus said, that there would be a massive increase of wickedness. There's an increase of wickedness. Again, they didn't see the times. They have not interpreted the signs of the times. And as a result of there being a huge increase of wickedness, the world, our society, our culture has turned on Christians because they speak the truth. And this really, this is exactly what George Orwell said when he said that the further a society drifts away from the truth, the more that it will hate those that speak it. I mean, that is so true. I mean, that's not anything original on Orwell's part. I mean, Orwell pretty much got that from Jesus when he said that this is the verdict. Light has come into the world because men love darkness rather than the light. So really, this is where we're at the moment. They did not interpret the signs of the times. They have no idea. They deny the fact that we're living in the end times, that we're living in the last days, and so they think that they can appease the world, in which they can win over the world with their social justice initiatives, with their inclusivity, with their tolerance. But really, it's all a big sham, and it's all a waste of time. And in doing so, in appeasing the world, Jesus has removed the lampstand from their churches. So this is where all this is going. They fail to discern the signs of the times, when in reality, we Christians need to prepare themselves for a coming persecution. You know, just the other day, legislators in California just passed a law where they basically lay the blame for LGBT suicides and depression upon religious groups, upon the church. So it's now the church's fault because of LGBT suicides. Right. So that's what they're saying, and you can see where all this is heading. You know, like, first they demonize you, and then they dehumanize you. And as Voltaire once said, he said that those who believe absurdities will carry out atrocities. Mm-hmm. So this is where this is all heading at the moment. There is a campaign of demonization aimed at the church. News came out yesterday as well. No, actually today, actually, where there are a bunch of churches in Texas that were vandalized with anti-Christian graffiti. So there is this growing anti-Christian sentiment within the West that we're seeing in America and also here in Australia as well. So, yeah, interesting times.
Yeah, they are interesting times. And you know what I love about Amos, the prophet, or Jeremiah, the true prophets of God? When God had apprehended the prophets, they spoke God's message, a very balanced message. And what was so awesome is that they continued to speak it, even when it felt like it was going nowhere. Daniel, I believe right now that God has raised up voices all over the world to wake up the church, to warn the world of the coming day of judgment that will land upon it. And we're seeing the crises everywhere. I mean, if people don't see the crises in our world today, then there's a blindness there. And that word crises is the Greek word krisis, which is the word judgment. And so we see judgment all over the world. And God is awakening his people. And the day is going to come that, you know, through the use of technology that we're using right now to wake people up, that there will be one of two things happen. The lights will go out. The EMP will come. The coronal mass ejection will come, the solar flare from the sun, to wipe out the electrical grid. There'll be no more communication like we're communicating now. No more, you know, ability to wake people up and tell them what's coming down the pike. Or to be able to use the technology, one would have to receive the mark of the beast. And you can imagine a world where the only information that's going on is controlled by the state. I know back in Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler's Nazi government, they controlled everything that was going out on the radio. They controlled the state media. And when that time comes that you will not be able to use this kind of mechanism or technology to get the word out without the state controlling it, you're going to have a world saturated in deception. I mean, can you imagine everything from television to computer to iPhones to iPads totally under the dominion of the state government or the global government for that case? That will only tell you what they want you to hear. It's already happening. There are a few outlets remaining that are speaking the truth like yourself, but that's not going to keep going on because eventually everything you're saying and others are saying is going to come to pass. And that is what we're preparing for, that moment that we have to walk through. Speak into that.
Yeah, well, political correctness is becoming more and more stifling by the day. The left is growing more and more powerful by the day. And so the climate of fear and intimidation is becoming more and more and more and more overwhelming. And so people are just fewer and fewer people are less willing to speak out. And I don't mean to come across as a wet blanket. I don't mean to come across as a, you know, woe is me and to be melodramatic and pessimistic. But really, this is just reality. When you look at the trajectories and the trends of where everything is heading at the moment, things are becoming more and more stifling. You know, there was a Finnish politician who posted the Bible verse on social media, very similar to Australia's Israel Folau, who did the same thing. And Israel Folau was basically the Australian football player, rugby player. But this Finnish politician posted a Bible verse, and because she did, she is now being threatened with resignation. She's being dragged before the anti-discrimination tribunals. She's really being put through the ringer as a result. And she came out just recently, and she just said that the more Christians are silent about these political issues, the more she said that the more that we would have space to take a stand for these issues. And she's absolutely correct. The less we speak out on these issues, the less room that we will have to defend. We will be able to take a stand. So that really is a sobering prospect, but this is exactly where we are at the moment, because there is a game plan that the left want to carry out. They want domination. They are working very hard to weaponize the UN, to give the UN as much centralized power as possible. And this is why they're playing the climate change, the climate scare card as much as they possibly can. See, because if they can declare a climate emergency, this is really important to understand. You know, in times of national emergencies, what's usually happened is that the Constitution is suspended and emergency powers are handed over to basically a dictator. And martial law is basically carried out, and because it's the state is under this these emergency laws. This is exactly how they want to play this thing out. They want to keep hyping and keeping the pressure up and keep maintaining the rage in declaring this so-called climate emergency, because in doing so, they want to suspend the constitution of sovereign nations and to basically to get these nations to hand their sovereignty over to the United Nations so that the United Nations can basically take control and basically oversee this so-called climate emergency, which really is a complete ruse. It is one of the most elaborate hoaxes that have ever been perpetrated on the human race, except for perhaps the evolution is probably the number one. But this, the whole climate change agenda is insidious from beginning to end. And really the whole idea of it is to introduce socialism by the back door. That is the whole agenda. Margaret Thatcher once said that the global warming provides a marvelous excuse for global socialism. And she's absolutely correct about that, because this is the whole game plan. You know, it's interesting because Figueres, I forget what her first name is, but she basically was the head of the UN Climate Council. And she basically came out and said that the best style of government or form of government to combat climate change, she said in her words, was communist China. She said communist China with their style of government is probably the best way forward in addressing the climate change. So you can only laugh, because they basically are just, man, the mask is slipping. It really is. You can really see clearly what their agenda is. But this is where things are heading, and it's interesting that they're actually going down that route. And by the way, leftism is very much a religion, and just as Christianity is religion, Christianity has many different denominations. You know, we have our Episcopalians and Anglicans and Catholics and Baptists and all these different denominations. The same goes with the left. See, the left is very much like a religion, and they have their different denominations. And the whole climate change activism vehicle is just one of those denominations. They all have the same goal. They all have the same agenda, but they're going about it differently, as would another denomination of leftism, such as the socialists, who are more hardcore, or the Fabians, who want to do it more underhandedly and more with a subversion tactic. You know, so they are all want to go about the same things differently, but they have the same goal in mind. So that's one way of looking at it.
Well, absolutely. I always thought that the climate control crisis that everybody was talking about, if their eyes were open to the biblical reality, you know, the weather patterns we see taking place, I mean, the earth is groaning. The Bible actually says that the earth, the land beneath the inhabitants' feet, has been so defiled that she literally vomits out the inhabitants. I mean, when you stop and think about God saying man's sin is so gross, man's sin is so defiled that the earth can no longer stomach it. It's like Jesus' stomach to a lukewarm Christian, that he would vomit them out of his mouth. So the earth is a living organism, Daniel, and the sin that is being promoted on this earth, the very things that God calls an abomination, the earth just can't stomach that. So the earth is only reacting to the spiritual condition of a fallen human race, and it has been since the beginning of time. But the rebellion is really causing things to change. So I think there is some changes going on in the earth, but I think it's because of the groaning and travailing of the earth itself, because of the blood that has been shed. I mean, when Cain shed Abel's blood, the earth would no longer produce for Cain. Cain could plant the best seed in the best land, but it wouldn't produce anything because the earth could not deal with that. There was a curse on Cain because of that.
Yes.
Consider what's going on in the world today.
You know, it's funny because you're absolutely right. It's also funny too when you look at from a Google Earth satellite images of all the areas where Islam has conquered, and a lot of the areas where Islam has conquered it, basically turned to deserts. You know, like the whole area of northern Africa that never used to be desert. Never used to be desert. It was actually a very nice vegetation all along those lands. Very nice irrigation, and it was very, very green. But wherever the sword of Islam has spread, it's now basically turned into arid wildernesses and deserts. So, yeah, that's a very interesting point that you made, but I just thought I'd add that extra bit in there. But the Earth reacts, tends to react in a lot of ways, which is consistent with the amount of sin that's being poured out, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, you go back to Revelation 11 with the last verse, those who destroy the earth, God will destroy. And so God has some very wonderful interest in this planet. I mean, this planet gives us water, gives us air, food, vegetation. It gives us everything. God has designed the planet to have the warmth of the sun. It's been so beautifully designed, and we, because of our sin, are destroying it. It's not a political issue. It is a man issue and his sin with his creator who are defiling this land. And when you stop and look at what's going on around the world, Daniel, the prophecy of Amos becomes so clear to me. We have a few days left in summer, and this is where Amos saw that basket of summer fruit, and God said, I'm not passing by anymore. And boy, this has really been a summer of violence in many ways when you consider the Bahamas, when you consider the school shootings, the mall shootings, all the stuff going on. And we're not even out of summer yet. And yet there's a very intriguing verse in Amos chapter 8, Daniel, that literally says that the Lord, it'll come to pass in that day that the Lord God, that he will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. I mean, that almost leads to one to believe that darkening the earth in the clear day, in other words, in the Hebrew, it's when everything is blissful and everything is good and normal and people are going about their business, suddenly the earth goes dark. Is that God's weaponry to send a solar flare to wipe out the grid, to bring massive global judgment around the world? And people wonder about that. And yet some scientists say it's inevitable. But could it be that we're facing that kind of an event?
Possibly. I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, the Bible does have a lot to say that in those days the sun will be darkened. So we could certainly see that kind of a phenomena happening. There's no question about that. One other interesting phenomena that we find in the book of Revelation is that there is like fireballs coming down from heaven, burning those, you know, the sun is burning those. And even though these people are being burnt by the sun, they still would not repent. You know that scripture I'm talking about?
Yeah, I believe it's the hailstones weighing 75 pounds or something to that effect. And they blaspheme God. Mm-hmm. Is it that one? Yeah.
Yeah, in Revelation, and it talks about the sun, that the heat from the sun is so intense that they will receive scorched them. Yeah, and they still did not repent. So we see some very interesting phenomena that will happen in the last days. Jesus said that men's hearts will grow faint with all these things that will be happening. So again, it does kind of make you think that there will be. Even though the climate activists are trying to conjure up that all this, that the world is going to end in 12 years, and you know, and that the sea waters are going to rise, and that the temperature is going to skyrocket, and all this kind of stuff, it's interesting. I have always thought that God will say, well, if this is what you want, well, this is what you're going to get. And this is what he's going to pour out onto them, exactly what they've been trying to say will happen to them, but it won't be the way that they think it'll happen. And I think God really is going to, he could very well send some solar flares that could actually be the fulfillment of what we see in the book of Revelation with the men being scorched by the sun. I mean, he could very well do that. you know, and it's true, you're right in the sense that we have been horrible stewards of the earth. And, you know, Jesus said that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it's out of that love for money that we have done so much evil to the earth, you know, because in trying to save money or in trying to make money, we have done some horrible things to the earth and horrible things in pollution and destroying and polluting and the earth. So, and again, it comes back to what Jesus said, that the love of money is the root of all evil. So it should not surprise us that we see a lot of this going on and all this damage being done to the earth.
Well, absolutely. Daniel, could there be any doubt that right now we are in the beginning of sorrows as recorded in Scripture? Have we not been? I mean, isn't it absolutely obvious that we have been in what is known as the beginning of sorrows for quite some time that is leading to the great tribulation that the Bible talks about? Do you see things that way?
Well, I'll tell you how I think that will end up being played out. You know, there's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of speculation in regard to who the restrainer is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because I think when the time of trouble will come, when the time of sorrows will come, I believe that it will really play into that. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says hang on, let me just quickly go there.
Okay. So just right up front, while you're going there, do you believe we're in the beginning of sorrows at this point?
Well, as I was saying before, like I think when you read in Daniel chapter 12, it says that this will all happen. The man basically clothed in linen, the angel, he puts his left and right arm up to heaven, and he says it will happen for a time, times, and half a time. Okay, so that's the great tribulation. And he says when it will happen, when the power of the holy people is broken. He said, when the power of the holy people is broken, then all these things will take place. So there's going to come a time when the power of the righteous people, okay, the power of, this is the salt effect that Christians have upon the earth, in which we are preventing it from falling into decay. I think that when the power of godly men and women who are basically holding back the tide of wickedness, when the power of the holy people has been broken, then I believe that we will enter into that period. And that is the period in which it will really be that darkness that Jesus talked about, and he said, in which no man can work. And when that happens, that really will be the beginning of the time of sorrows.
So are you saying that the restrainer then of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is not the Holy Spirit or the church being raptured, maybe not even the laws, but because of the laws, the power of the holy people being broken, is the restrainer gone? Not of people disappearing, but of people being broken and subdued, and now comes, is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. In fact, if you wanted to quickly go there, I can actually read it out in context, because it really is amazing. It says, from verse 5, it says, then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? What is he talking about when he says astonishing things? Well, you've got to go look further back in verse 1. It says, at that time, Daniel, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. there will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. That's really, really important. That's exactly what Jesus talked about. He said there'll be no other time like it, no other time before it, no other time like it after it. He says it'll be a time of great trouble, great tribulation. Now, the man clothed in linen, he says, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? So that says that the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. Okay, so he says that it will last for 3.5 years. When, he says, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed.
There it is. There it is.
That's it. Yep.
Well, that, you know, that really, you know, biblically fits into the divine pattern of things, that when righteousness is subdued, wickedness prevails. And if there's ever been,
yes.
So what, you know, we need to really contemplate what you're saying here, because with the billions of people on the planet right now, every individual singular Christian, man, woman, and child on this earth are actually having some impact in holding back the darkness. But there comes a time that there is a subduing and a breaking of the power of that which has been restraining and holding back. What do you think that power is? What would subdue God's people? What would bring God's people in our generation down in order to release this kind of tribulation? I know during the tribulation, the people are overcome. Yeah,
I mean, at the moment, see, there was for a period of time where I thought that America was the restrainer, but I don't believe that anymore. I think it's speaking a lot more broadly than that. In fact, I think it's going to be, there's going to come a time where the godly influence all over the world is going to be suddenly broken. And it could very well come about through this climate emergency that we were talking about, in which they declare, and in which the sovereign nations basically hand over their sovereignty to the United Nations. And if that happens, Pastor Vincent, if that happens, it basically means that the godly influence of the men and women, the godly men and women who are involved in government of these sovereign nations, their power will be completely annulled. Their power will be completely annulled. You know, the moment they hand their sovereignty over to the United Nations, and to the person who was heading up the United Nations, whoever the Antichrist will be, they will completely, these people will completely lose their power. Their power will be completely broken once that happens. And it could be an international incident. It could be a bunch of different things. But once the power of the holy people, the people who are congressmen, the people who are parliamentarians, the people who are senators, the people who are involved in the legislative councils, the moment that these people have lost their role, have lost their power, have lost their responsibilities, and it's basically all that power has been transferred over to a centralized, a global government, then it's all over. It's all over. And that's where I think where things are going to be heading. That's where, and you know, you really just need to have a look at China and have a look at their social credit system, and the way that they have basically come up with this elaborate way of controlling the people. That's really a terrifying dystopian view of what the United Nations could implement all over the world. And considering that also too, that Islam is pretty much, well, Islam has dominated the United Nations. There's no question about that. You know, Islam has infiltrated. In fact, the OIC is the largest block, power block within the United Nations by a long shot, even surpassing the communists, the communist bloc. So considering that, the writing is on the wall. Very, very, very much the writing is on the wall.
Okay, so is it safe to say then in Daniel chapter 12, just a couple of things just to tie up in my own mind here, that the in the King James it says, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people.
Yeah.
So there's a scattering of the power. Now, who? It's not the holy people in Jerusalem, Israel alone, is it? I mean, we're talking here about a global holy people, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that is the context in which we're talking about. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And so the
Daniel 12 is very global in its scope when you're actually reading it in context. It's apocalyptic. It's actually talking of the time of the end.
That's amazing. And so you wonder what event would actually create the scattering. Now, we know in the book of Acts that the church was scattered, and yet you tied that in several months ago about the times when people are fleeing, that they actually, while they were fleeing, were spreading the gospel, but as far as having power to withhold the persecution, they did not have. Speak into that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is another big part of the puzzle, because right smack bang in the middle of the Olivet Discourse, Jesus says, you know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and there'll be this, there'll be famines, there'll be earthquakes and blah, blah, blah. But in the middle of it, he says, and this gospel shall be preached unto all nations, and then the end will come.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
It seems really kind of disjointed, like that verse really shouldn't be there. But when you look at the context in which he said that, I mean, just before he actually says that, he says that you'll be hated by all nations because of me. Okay, so if the context of the preaching of the gospel unto all nations, if the context of that is actually persecution, then that makes a lot of sense, because Christianity basically spread from to the othermost parts of the earth as a result of persecution, and it basically had its sharp growth throughout the known world as a result of persecution. So if it was that case in the first century, then we can expect the same thing to happen in the last century. You know, Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses at Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. You know, he said that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And we know, you know, I used to hear that all the time being, you know, in a Pentecostal church in my youth. the pastor said that you shall receive power, you know, and it was really, really good to hear, because we were going to get power for the sake of having power.
Power.
You know, there wasn't any context to it, you know, but there is context to that. And what is the context of Acts chapter 1, verse 8? The context is actually Acts chapter 8, verse 1. I mean, if you go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says that a great persecution broke out against the church, and it started at Jerusalem, and it went out from Jerusalem to Judea and from Judea to Samaria. And then it says further down, it says that wherever they fled to, they preached the gospel wherever they went. So this is the key. This is what people need to understand. There's going to be a great persecution in these last days. And people who are inadvertently, people who are used to living in a very secure and safe environment are going to inadvertently find themselves on the mission field preaching the gospel to ears that have never heard the gospel before. This is how the gospel is going to reach the furthest corners of the earth, where people groups who have never heard the gospel before will hear it. It will be coming from the lips of people who are fleeing the great persecution in these last days.
Wow. Absolutely well said, Daniel. We're just down to like 55 seconds right now. We've got to get rolling here. We know that you're coming for the Feast of Tabernacles, and we need to get some information from you. So let's talk tomorrow when you wake up. I'll still be awake, so give me a shout. And we're looking forward to seeing you right for the entire week. We'll talk more about that. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Daniel Seckham. His website is Israel, Islam, and the Last Days. And Last Days, you can find him on Daniel Seckham anywhere in the world. Just type his name in. You'll get hold of him. He's done interviews. He's doing a great job out there. And he'll be here in Northwest Arkansas for the Feast of Tabernacles from October 13th to October 20th. Daniel, I want to thank you once again. Get to bed. And remember, prepare yourself with Tim Tams. Make sure when you go into the foxhole, you have tons of Tim Tams. All right? All right, Daniel. God bless you, my friend. We'll talk again real soon. All right, shalom. So we're going to let him go to sleep. We're going to say goodbye to our Facebook friends. Remember, right now, omegaradio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're broadcasting live. There's a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier, so get there right now. God bless everybody on Facebook. God bless you on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to continue live on the Omega Radio Network, omegaradio.org. Praise the Lord.